Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the bottom of the Kavosh, Olav L'Toich HaMayim. The Mishnah says that if somebody keeps somebody underwater, it's considered that he's a murderer on the condition, said the Mishnah, any yachal l'misham. That the victim could not have escaped. But then the Mishnah said that if he could have escaped, if he could have escaped and he died, then he's potter. So the obvious question that the Gemara is faced with is the Mishnah says the same thing really twice. If he can't escape, you're chayiv, and if he can escape, you're potter. So the Gemara's question is, why do you have to say the same thing twice? Answers the Gemara. The Gemara picks up with assuming that we understood the question. It says there were Reish Ravus Kamashalon and Sefer Ravus Kamashalon. The Reish is teaching us a din and the Sefer is teaching us a din. Reish Ravus Kamashalon, the Reish is teaching us that Afgav that Lav Iudachvay, it wasn't he himself that pushed him into the water. All he did was that after the victim fell into the water, he kept him underwater, or after he fell into the fire, Chas v'Shalom, he kept him in the fire. The halacha is kivin de'ayin yochel la'alf misham, since the victim cannot escape, umeis, and he dies, the perpetrator is chayiv. Because the Mishnah is teaching us that it's not that the perpetrator to be chayiv has to do the initial act. As long as he does the act that kills the victim, he is considered a rotzeach. The Sefer is teaching us the other chiddush, Sefer Ravusa Kamashmon, the Afka gav the dachvay, even though he pushed him into the water. He did push him. So that's a terrible act. It's an act that can lead to somebody passing away. However, since he pushed him into a place that kivin the yochel la'alf misham, from which the victim can escape, and the victim, as we explained in the previous year, chose not to go out, and then he dies, or makes potter, the perpetrator's potter. Ask the Gemara, Kavash Minolan. Indeed, ask the Gemara. Not that the Gemara came to the point where even if he didn't throw him in, as long as he just kept him there, that's considered an act of murder. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that? Maybe for it to be considered Ritzicha, it's only a situation of Ritzicha where he did the initial act. Am Shmuel, the Am Kra. Oy be'eva, the Torah uses the words oy be'eva, to teach us l'rabbis as a mitzamtzim, that even if he just pushed him under, he's considered a rotzeach. Says the Gemara, ha'hu gavet mitzamtzim al'chayusa d'chavrei. There was somebody that pushed underwater or pushed somebody else's animal b'shimshima into the sun. And the animal died from sun exposure. Umeis. So here we're not talking about a situation of Ritzicha. It's talking about the killing of an animal. So it's not a situation of Ritzicha, but it is clearly a situation of exposure and Hezek. So the question is this person considered a Mazik or not? Ravina Mechayiv. Ravina says it is. Ravach Barah Potem. And then Mark explains. Ravina Mechayiv. Ravina says that of course it is, because he makes the following Kalvachayma. We know for somebody to be considered a murderer, he had to have murdered b'mezet, for oinus k'rotzen, or an oinus is not considered rotzen. That means, as we know, there are actually four categories when somebody is a rotzeach. If somebody is a rotzeach b'mezet, that's our sugya, we'll continue learning it, there is chayiv misa for doing such an act. If somebody's a ritzeich b'shoigig, mitshavulim b'sech demakis, he's chayiv golus. If somebody was an oynus gomer, he was real oynus, then he's not even chayiv shoigig. On the other hand, the Gemara b'sech demakis discusses many times where there was a person who was actually a ritzeich, but it wasn't b'mezid. What he did was intentional, but it wasn't intending to kill. The halacha, the Gemara says in Masechta Makos in many different places, is that the person is not that that individual doesn't have the opportunity to get galus. Galus is an opportunity. It's a kapara. This is too much of an aveira. He doesn't even get galus. That's beretzicha. But yet, says the Gemara, umar tzeich shloas b'shogi k'mezed, and not oynis k'rotzim. Chai b'es mitzamtzim, as we just finished learning in the previous Gemara, that a mitzamtzim is considered a tzeach, this zokim, that the Gemara says at this point, has a higher standard, that the loch is also b'shogi k'mezed, v'oynis k'rotzim, en edin shi chai b'es mitzamtzim. Certainly, it's easier to be chayiv as a mazik than to be chayiv as a ritzeach, and therefore, in such a situation, the person should be chayiv for nizokim, for the value of the animal that died. Interesting, machlokes rishonim. Here the Gemara is saying, we mentioned this just the other day, here the Gemara is saying that by nizokim, somebody who's a oynis is chayiv, is that indeed the din? So I saw three opinions in the rishonim. The Ramban's opinion is that indeed, as the Gemara says, an oynis is chai by nezokim. Second opinion is that an oynis gomer, somebody who's a real oynis, we gave examples, is potter, anything else is not. And then there's even a more lenient opinion that there are different categories that are even less than oynis gomer. For example, oynis of geneva. Let's say somebody has something, somebody's watching something in his house, and somebody breaks into the house. So, nobody wants to break into the house. That will be considered oinus. The only thing that's not considered oinus is what the halacha, what these rishonim call, oinus kein aveda. He's walking and he's now watching carefully what he's watching and it falls down. So even though that's also, not that he purposely lost it, but that is still something he should have been more careful. That's the Shaila on Oynus. So certainly the Gemara at this point is learning that if Nezokin have a higher standard than Ritzicha, so for Ritzicha you're Chayiv, for Nezokin you're certainly Chayiv. Rav Acha Barav, on the other hand, holds his potter. Ara Mishashi Mai Tama Davu the Abba the Piter. What is his reasoning? Answers the Gemara Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mois Yumas Hamaka Ritzeyachu. Strictly in the subject of Ritzicha is where we're learning that a Mitzamtzim is Chayiv. When it comes to Nezokin, the Mitzamtzim is not Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amarov, Kafsa Umeis Barov. If someone was tied up, and he died in hunger. That means he was tied up, and never because somebody he was tied up, he wasn't able to eat, and he ultimately passed away. The halacha, that's not considered an act of ritzicha, his potter. Why? Because Rav is teaching us, and that will become repeated more than once in this sugya. Rav is teaching us that for it to be considered a maaser ritzicha, the force that kills the person has to be there when he does it. When somebody's tied up, he isn't hungry, he isn't starving to death yet. It takes a while for that to happen. And therefore, it's not considered an act of murder. Discuss the Rishayim. And what will happen if somebody ties up a person who's hungry? Will that be a Ritzicha? They say that won't be a Ritzicha either. Because hunger is a cumulative thing. Even if he's hungry, he isn't yet dying. And therefore, the fact that he's hungry today, and that step closer to starving to death, Rahman al-Islam, isn't yet killing him, and that hunger that will ultimately kill him wasn't here when he tied him up, and therefore he's not chayiv. Similarly, says Rava, kafs b'chama v'meis, if somebody was tied up and exposed to the sun and he died, or ritzina, was tied up and left out in the cold to freeze to death, Rahman al-Islam, u'meis, chayiv. Why? Because the act, that act is there already, the act of killing. Not only in such a case did I see the Rishonim say that he's chayiv, but what would be the halacha if he was tied up in the house? And then tied up like that, the perpetrator took him out and left him in the sun or in the cold? That'd also be Maaser Ritzicha. The tying up doesn't have to be outdoors for it to be considered Maaser Ritzicha. It has to be left in the sun by the perpetrator. However, if he put him in a place, right now there's no sun here, but soif chamalovai, it's a place where the sun will ultimately come. Soif tsinalovai, it's a place that ultimately the cold will come. Potter, he's potter. Why is he potter? Because the act, as we explained a moment ago, the act that he did wasn't an act of murder because there was nothing there, nothing, the force that killed wasn't there when he started this act. And Rishonim explained, based on what I said a moment ago, that why did Rava have to speak both about the case of Kofso Meis Barov and the case about Soif Chamalovoi, Soif Tzinalovoi, to teach us, as I explained before, the Chiddush, that even if the person was already hungry somewhat when he was tied up, he would still be potter. Continues the Gemara. Vama Rava. Kofso Lefnei Ari, if he was tied up in front of a lion, potter. He's potter. Lefnei Yitushim, but he was tied up in front of ants that actually or ultimately bite him to death, then he's potter. Then he's chayv. I'm sorry. Why? So Rashi and Tosfos dispute the reason. Rashi says that by a lion, the tying is not the factor. The tying is not the factor. The lion doesn't get impressed from him being tied up. Therefore, the tying doesn't really make it a maisa ritzicha. By Yitushim, a person can go away from Yitushim. The only reason this person couldn't go away from the Yitushim is because he was tied up, and that's why he's chayv. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns differently. And Tosfos' concept, the concept of Tosfos, two Tosfos from the bottom. The concept that Tosfos works with is a concept that we're going to discuss, Mitzvah Shem, later in the Shia when we discuss the concept of groma. Tosfos distinguishes between an act of that comes immediately and an act that takes that's delayed somewhat. And Tosfos explains, when he's tied up in front of the Yitushim immediately begin to attack him. So that means the person who tied him up, the murder began immediately. Whereas by Dari didn't attack him immediately. There was a delay between being tied up and the lion attacking him. And Tosfos has a pretty simple raya that didn't happen immediately. Because if the lion were attacking him as he was being tied up, the person who was tying him up wouldn't be there. So since there was that delay in place, that's why it's not considered an act of murder. Ravashi says, not only by Kofso Lefnei Ari is he potter, but Kofso Lefnei Yitushim Nami potter, because Hani Azli Vahani Asli. The way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. It's not the same ants that ants, no one ant can kill a person. It's just that there's a stream of ants, there's a stream of Yitushim that keep on coming after the victim. So the Yitushim that were there when the perpetrator tied him up aren't the Yitushim that actually finished him off. And therefore he's not chayiv. And that's why Ravashi says that even if Yitushim is potter. And again, the way the Rishonim explain it, that the model is as follows. What happens if somebody's put in the water, in a river, and the current drowns him? So again, it's not the first current that drowned him. It's the current that kept on coming that drowns him. So why is he chayiv? Because it's considered one long stream. You don't look at the water, that every drop of water is a new entity. And the man that says by Yitushim Yichayiv looks at Yitushim like he looks at water. This is Rashi's analogy. And therefore, the stream of Yitushim that killed him is considered one long continuous stream. However, by Yitushim, Ravashi says, no, you can't compare Yitushim to water. Water is indeed one long continuous stream. Yitushim, each Yitush is a separate barrier, and since it's a separate barrier, it's not considered one long stream. Continues the Gemara. Itmar, Kofel of Gigas. If somebody had a barrel put over him, and therefore he suffocated to death, or Parol of Maziva, the roof was opened over a sleeping person, and it was freezing, and the person froze to death. So says the Gemara, Tzimachloikus, Rava and Rav Zeira. Chadam Achayiv, Chadam Apotah. One says under such circumstances that it's an act of Ritzicha, and one says it isn't. But we don't know who holds what. Suggest the Gemara, to stymie the Rava Hudam Apotah. That's Rava who says that he will potter. What's the raya? Dama Rava, kafso meis barav. We learned before, there's somebody who was tied up and he died of starvation, he's potter. Why? As I explained before, because the act, the force in the act that ultimately killed this victim wasn't there at his point that he did his act. So similarly here, that the suffocation doesn't happen immediately. It happens later that he couldn't breathe anymore. And therefore, he's potter. Says the Gemara, Ad Rebbe, we can make a different argument. We could suggest to Stein the Rav Zeira Udam HaPotter, that it's Rav Zeira that holds his potter. Dom Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, Hai man da aile l'chavri v'beis ha'deshisha. If somebody puts somebody else into a marble room, and by putting him into the marble room, va'ad l'klei sharga, and he lit a candle, and umes, and the person died. That by putting the person, a marble room is in there, is their description of him, of a sealed room. And now that the ear went out, that the candle went out, that means that there's no longer any ear here. There's no oxygen. So again, Haiman the Ilal Khavri base the Shisha, Vadalikle Shargo Mace, Chayiv. So it seems, Tam the Adalik Shargot, only because he lit the candle, and the candle sucked up all the oxygen. Haloi Adalikle Sharga, had he not done such an act? Loi. So you see, just because he put him into a room that ultimately he suffocated in, even Rav Zeira agrees, is not considered an act of Ritzicha. So it's not just Rava that holds this way. Rav Zeira also holds this way. Answers the Gemara, Amri, you can't compare the two situations. Hosam beloy sharga lemaska chavel. If you hadn't had the candle lit, there would be nothing to create a specific situation that the oxygen should be sucked out of the room. Here, as soon as the person has a barrel put over his head, the suffocation begins immediately. Says the Gemara, Simen Sulam Tris Sabmanim Bekaisel. Amar Rava, Dach Fal Abar. If somebody was pushed into a bar, the Sulam Abar, there's a ladder in that bar. So the act of being thrown into the bar is not an act of murder, because the victim could climb out. And now, somebody else comes and removes him from that pit. But feel who could have a silkai? Somebody takes the ladder away. Somebody comes and takes the ladder away. So now it turns out to be an act of murder. But feel who could have a silkai? Or even if the person himself who threw him into the bar is the individual who also took out the ladder, still it's potter. It's not considered an act of murder. Why? The be'idne de shadye, at the moment he was thrown into the bar, yochalalasu. So as I keep on repeating, not I said, Rava said it, that since the initial act is not an act of murder, it's never considered murder. Says Rava another din. Zorok chetz, v'tris biyodai. Somebody threw a spear at somebody else, and the person was holding a shield that would prevent the shield, the spear, from hurting him. And now somebody goes and takes that shield away. Or, even if the person who threw the spear is also the same person that takes away the shield, potter. Again, why? At the moment he threw the spear, that spear could not have done any damage. The shield would have prevented it. So that's why it's not considered an act of murder. One more similar case. Vama Rava, Zorak Bachetz. If he threw a spear at somebody, but the individual, the victim, had some manam biyodai, had whatever medicine, that even if he was hit by a spear, he had the medicine that would cure him, or ba'ach of a pizrit. And then somebody came and took the medicine away. He dispersed it on the floor. Or Vafilu, who called him as Pizran? The one that threw the spear was the person that scattered the medicine. Potter. It won't be considered an act of murder. Why? The Ve'edin the Shadibay, at the moment he threw at him, Yochlus Rapasava, he was in a situation that it wouldn't do him any bad. Om Ravashi. Ravashi takes it even a step further. Hicha, even if there isn't Samonim, there isn't this medicine in the actual room, but they're available, that if he was hit by the spear, he could go to the drugstore and buy him. Hilchach, afilu samanim b'shuk, it's not considered an act of murder, because it's not an act that the person would have to die from. And of course, the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, why does Rava have to say the same thing over and over again? It seems to be repetitions, that as long as the act at when the point it was done is not considered an act of murder, it's not an act. Why does the Gemara keep on repeating it? So the Rishonim respond, that the point here is that it's the lesson of this Gemara is that it's loizu afsu. That not only a case with tris biyodai, preventing the chetz from, not only the case where there's a sulam in the bar, which certainly makes it not to be a bar. A bar with a ladder is not a bar. So certainly that if somebody was thrown into such a bar, it's not considered an act of murder. But even in the other cases, where if you throw a spear at somebody, that's a dangerous act. He may have a way of saving himself, but the act for itself is still in itself a dangerous act. He's still not considered a ritzayah. And then if you think about it further, explained the Rishonim, a tris preventing is less than the medicine, meaning less of an act of murder. Because the tris means that the weapon, even though throwing a spear is an act of hurting somebody, but the shield prevents that spear from ever hitting him. But in the case of the Samonim, the spear mamish hits him. Just as the medicine that will save him. Still, even though, so the act of hitting and the act of saving are really two separate, distinct acts. They have one nothing to do with the other. So we think, what's the fact that I could go to the doctor, that the victim could go to the doctor, change the reality that somebody threw a spear at him? It teaches us the Gemara that even though a spear was thrown at him and he got hit by the spear, the fact that he could be saved with a medicine lessens or makes that the act of throwing the chetz should not be considered a maisa or at least a maisa ritzicha. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha Breder Rav Lervashi. Nizdamna Lem Samonim Mahu. The way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. There were no medicines at all when he threw in this room, in the city, when he threw the spear. Afterwards, Minashamayim, everything's Minashamayim, medicine became available. Will that still be considered an act of murder or not? Amalei Harei Yotzim Bezdin Zakai. Since the medicines became available, so he says even a bigger chiddush, that availability of the medicine that weren't even here when the spear was thrown creates that it should not be considered a situation of ritzicha. That's the way Rashi learns. Most Rishonim learn this way. The Yad Ramah is not that lenient. The Yad Ramah explains the Gemara as follows. He says, let's say somebody threw a spear at somebody and the person didn't die. Baruch Hashem. He's taken to Bezdin, and Bezdin learned the Al Gemara as well as we did, and says he's not Chayiv. And then afterwards he dies. Says the Yad Ramah, the Gemara is teaching us a big chiddush, that since only when Bezdin paskin, that he's Zakai, that he's innocent, do we keep him innocent. But had he died without Bezdin paskining that he's innocent, and he ultimately dies, the perpetrator would be Chayiv. Continues the Gemara. If somebody threw a tsrar at a wall, the chazar lachra, and now on the rebound, it hits somebody and kills him. Chayiv. That is considered, even though it's not a direct act, it was done on the rebound, it's chayiv. And says the Gemara, v'tanatuna, we actually learned this in a braisa. The braisa says, kigoy elu hamasachakun b'kader. The way they used to play ball, interesting game. They used to throw the ball at the wall, and the thrower would then have to run away from the wall, and the ball would be caught by his opponent, and the person who caught the ball has to throw the ball at the thrower and hit him. That was the game. So says the Gemara. Kigan elam sachakim bekader. They play ball. Shahargu b'meizin narogim b'shagi goyim. If it was done, if such an act happened, be shagig. If he was standing close to the wall, then he's chayif. If it was b'shagig, he goes to Golos. Ask the Gemara, b'shagig goyim b'shita. It was a shagig. He should go to Golos. Answer the Gemara, b'meizin narogim b'shagi. Who says that he's going to get hit? That as long as he was warned that if the ball on the rebound will hit you, and if you throw the ball with such force that on the rebound it'll hit the person to kill him, that's considered an adequate hasra, that this should be considered a ma'aser tzicha. Says the Gemara, Tana Rav Tachlifa b'marova kamed Rav Avua, ki goit elu. And these people that play ball, shahagu, and they killed with the force of the ball. So the halacha is as follows, says the Gemara. Toich arba amis, if they were within 4 amis of the wall, the potter, chutz la arba amis, without 4 amis, the chayis. Rashi learns the Gemara that the question that's being discussed, is this considered a situation where the perpetrator would have to go to Golos or not? That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim say that we're talking about is it considered a Ma'aser Tzicha for which there's a Chiyuv Misa. Amalei Ravina L'Rashi. What's this Dalar Amis? Hechadami. Either Kanichalei, if the person was doing this intentionally, so then I feel a Portanami. So even if he's throwing the ball for less than Dalar Amis, he should be Chayiv. Either Loi Nichalei, and if he's not satisfied with what happens, so what's the difference how far he threw the wall? Through the ball. I feel a Tuvanami Loi. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, so he responded, Sam Masachkin Bekader, Kama de Ulimene Meich Nichle. That the further he is, the more likely he wants the ball to go with more of a force. Says the Gemara, the Memra, does that mean that we're learning now all these examples that something that goes on the rebound is considered a result of my direct act? The memra, the kaigav, the kaichahu, does this mean it's considered my direct act? For many. The locha is that if somebody becomes tamei mace, he has to have the paraduma water sprinkled on him. How does that happen? They take paraduma ashes, they take water from a spring, mayim chayim, spring water, and they put the ashes into the vessel, and they pour the water on it. Hamakadosh. If somebody is preparing this concoction, v'nafal kiddush al yodai, if the water first fell on his hand, or al atzad, or it fell on the side of the vessel, v'akach nafal shaykes, and then it fell on the ash, pasul. Why? Even if it fell on the side of the wall, asked the Gemara, it's bouncing off the side of the wall onto the ashes. And we're learning that anything that happens on a rebound is considered my act. So why is this not considered my act? Answered the Gemara, Haka Ma'iskinan. What happened here is the Shoises. It's not like it bounced off the wall. Rather, it dripped down. So since it dripped down, what we consider here that it happened is that it stopped and then started again. So when is it considered Kaychay, my act? Only when it comes immediately, without any interruption. But if it stops and starts again, which is the definition of shaisis, it's not considered koichai, and that's why it's not considered that the water was mixed as a direct result of my act. Tashma, says the Gemara, similar Gemara. Machachin asun alacharis. There's a needle. The needle became tamei, and we need to be matar that needle. And the needle is put on a piece of earthenware. He's allowed. And now somebody sprinkles the water on that machet. The question is, Safik ala machet hiza. The question is, did the water go directly on the needle? Or Safik ala cherech hiza, or went on the earthenware, and from the earthenware, it bounced onto the needle. Umitzalah, and then from the earthenware, it bounced onto the needle. Since we don't know what happened, we have to be machmer, to Safik deraisa, and that's why it's possible. Why? Asked the Gemara. If we're saying that if it didn't, even if it didn't go directly on the needle, it bounced from the earthenware onto the needle, it should still not be considered a problem. Because we're learning that the rebounding is considered direct. So what's the nafkamina? Amrav chanin b'Rav Yehuda mishmei d'Rav motzeit. The way to understand the braisa is different, says the Gemara. I have this earthenware. I have the needle on the earthenware. I spritzed water, I spritzed the mechatis on that needle. And now I see it wet. And as the Rishonim explain, there are three possibilities of what happened. One possibility is that the water hit the needle directly. Great. Second possibility is that the water hit the earthenware and then bounced onto the needle. That's also fine. Because we're learning now that bouncing is considered koichai. There's a third possibility. That the water fell on the earthenware, stopped, and then trickled, dripped down onto the needle. That isn't fine. Now I find the needle wet, and I don't know for sure which of the three possibilities that I just articulated actually happened. So since I don't know for sure what happened, I have to be concerned. We're dealing with a deraisa, as I said. I have to be concerned that the water stopped and then trickled onto the needle, and that's why you chayif. Omra Papa, Hayman the Kafsel Chavri. Somebody tied up somebody else. Vashkel had bitka the Maya, and then after he tied him up, there was a dam preventing the water from going, and he opened up the dam, and the water came flying out. That's considered gire de dehu. That's considered his act, and he's chayif. Why? Because, so however says the Gemara, and this is the famous Gemara by Groma, Hani mili b'koyach rishin, ava koyach sheni, groma ba'amu. Rashi explains that what's the difference between koyach rishin and koyach sheni? If it happens immediately, Rashi calls it, this is important, because in many areas of halacha, we need to understand, especially when we speak about Hilchos Shabbos, that a groma, gram kiboy, a groma benizokin, we learned as potter. So the question is, what is a groma? So Rashi says, if it happens immediately, that's called koyach rishon. If there's a delay, it's considered koyach sheni. Others don't want to tie it to a time factor. They want to know if it's a direct action, direct result of my action, it's considered koyach rishon. If my action causes another action to happen, which causes the ultimate result, that's called koyach sheni. Very big machlokes rishonim, which is relevant la halacha. Just to give you some examples. An interesting example. Two interesting examples. I mean, the place to look for examples typically is by Hilchos Shabbos. What's the halacha if somebody puts, they have these thermometers, not the old-fashioned ones, where you put it on the child's head and it changes colors, or letters form, what temperature, numbers form, what temperature the child has. So that would be considered koyach rishon, because it's a direct result of what I did. The interesting shaila I saw, a very interesting shaila, is that the Pesukim discuss, it was more common, and not so common nowadays, they used to have these glasses that they get dark, the Polaroid glasses, I think they were called, right? Photogray. Dating myself. The photogray glasses that if you went out in the sun, they turn dark, and you come inside, they turn light. You don't need them to be dark anymore. They don't need the shade. So the question is that mutar on Shabbos or not? It's soveya. So I was looking a little in the Paiskim. If anything, especially if you follow Rashi's interpretation, if you asked anybody, these two shilas that I'm now discussing, one about putting the thermometer on the forehead, or one about wearing the photogray glasses, which is probably more also? Everybody would say the thermometer. The truth is, after learning Rashi, lav dafka. Because Rashi says that if there's a time delay, it may not be grumma, it may just be a grumma. When you put the thermometer on the child's forehead, the temperature doesn't come right away, it takes time for it to read it. The photogray glasses change color immediately. Yet, anybody would tell you that photogray glasses are probably mutter, A thermometer, everybody will tell you, is also. Why? The answer is, photograde glasses are a great example of koyach rishon. And the only reason somebody could suggest that you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos is not because it's a grommel. The answer is because that's not a maisa tzviya. It's not called doing tzaveya when it keeps on changing back and forth. Especially it's a chemical reaction. But were it not lacking to be a maisa tzviya, it would probably be usur. Says the Gemara. It's for sure usur. Vamra papa. Because there's a time delay, but there's nothing, you know, you can't measure the time delay. It's a direct result. So the fact that it takes whatever it takes, that's not going to call it a groma. Amra papa, zorg tzor lamala. Somebody threw a rock up. V'hochot stodim. It doesn't come directly down. It comes down on an angle. And it kills somebody. Chayif. Amalei ma'abar v'ashler papa. My tama. Why are you saying that it's considered an act of ritzicha? V'shum dekoichahu. We consider that the initial act of throwing has continued. Ask the Gemara, if that were true, that the initial act of the person throwing it up continues, so she continue going up. She keep on going up. We know that doesn't happen. So the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. When somebody throws something up, so as long as it's going up, it's certainly koichai. But at a certain point, gravity kicks in. And gravity schleps it down, pulls it down. And gravity is not koichai. It's not my original koichai. So therefore the halach would be, just to understand it, if somebody threw something directly up and then it came directly down, straight line, the person, and it killed on the way down, the person who threw it would not be chayiv. But here there's a second factor that takes to be taken into consideration. He threw it, it's coming down at an angle. Why is it coming down at an angle? Because I threw it at an angle. So if I throw it at an angle, it'll come down at an angle. The coming down at an angle is a result of my actual, is a result of the fact that I threw it at that angle. So it isn't just gravity that's bringing it down. It's also my koyach that I threw it in a way that it should come down at that angle. It's maybe not the prominent part, as the Gemara, it's still considered my act, albeit it's koyach kachosh, and whenever it's koychoi, he's chayiv.